Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 28th of March. I'm your host, Paul White, and we have now turned into the fourth chapter in our continuing verse-by-verse journey through the book of Galatians. Paul's very meaty, very thick, very theologically diverse letter to the churches at Galatia. I say diverse because Paul covers, he actually covers several topics in the book of Galatians. Sometimes we think of Galatians really as a defense of pure gospel, because Paul opens with that whole other gospel comment. But Paul gives some very meaty theology. Justification by faith. Paul introduces the concept of Christ being made a curse and how, whether it's a generational curse or a curse related to the law, these things are broken in Christ. He links both Jew and Gentile, and that was a stroke of genius. He links both of them to Abraham, playing upon the fact that Abraham was a Gentile, but that Abraham became what he became by faith. He then pulls all of that through Christ, and what Christ has done makes Christ the individual seed, giving him the highest of honor, and then pulls all of us who are in Christ into that same honor. That really is a decent recap. I left out a lot of biographical stuff and some situational material from the second chapter, but that's by and large where we've went for three chapters. You arrive at the fourth chapter, Paul has introduced a concept that you've got to go back into chapter 3 to remember. Remember, in verse 23, Paul said, "Faith, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which should afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor." And we talked about, and that word tutor comes from verse 24, which was a household guardian in care of the discipline of, and responsibility for taking care of the children. So Paul introduces this idea almost as a housemaid, a live-in tutor who takes care of the kids. It's more than just, we think tutor in the Western world, we think someone that teaches you math, science, whatever. But that's not really what Paul's referring to. More of a live-in individual, most of the time a slave, whose responsibility was to raise the kids. Kids couldn't make decisions for themselves. They're kids. They need someone in charge of them. Paul has introduced that concept in chapter 3. He will now, in chapter 4, start to flesh that out. It's very difficult to take, say, Galatians 4:1 and leave it by itself, considering it's part of a sentence that takes up two verses, but even those two verses need the remaining verses. So what I want to do today is I want to reread Galatians 3, 23, 24, 25, and then I want to pick up chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. I'm not trying to rewrite anything. I just want to show you Paul's thought, because he makes you a son at the end of 3, but he shows what tutors are for. And then when he gets into chapter 4, that starts to make sense. So let's hear it that way. Again, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, 25, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. "Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ." Paul introduced the tutor concept at the end of 3. He brings that back at the top of 4 to talk about that even though we're an heir, as long as we're a minor, as long as we're a child, we're really no different than if we were just a slave, because we don't have any self-governing control, no real self-liberty. Kids don't. They're not supposed to. You don't have self-governing liberty when you're a child. So Paul says that as a child, you're under a guardian, you're under a steward until a time that's appointed by your father. Your father makes a decision when you are then thrust out into the world, either to go receive your education or to go be a man on your own. Until that time, you're really in a bondage, much like a slave. Paul then compares that bondage to the elements of the world. We'll get into that over the next few days, what he meant in verse 3 by the elements of the world. I'm trying to give you a broad context today of this big chunk of scripture, and then we'll start breaking them down. Breaking them down without the broad context is a lot harder, so we need today. And then Paul identifies that a time come in which God sent Jesus under the law to redeem people. That's the time appointed by the Father. That's the time when the children get to stop being children and start being adults. And Paul then says, now you are sons. And he uses a Greek word there for fully grown sons. And God has sent forth his Spirit into your heart so that you are his child, so that you now are no longer a slave. That he picks that motif up in verse 7. You're no longer a slave. Remember, he never actually called him a slave, but in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, if you're a child, you're the same as a slave. So what is Paul accomplishing? And again, these will become more vivid over the next few days as we break these verses down. Greater context, what Paul's accomplishing is saying this: the law treated you like children because you could not be self-governing, and therefore the law stayed outside of you and showed you what to do. But there's a time when the dad no longer wants you under tutors. He wants you to go be your own moral agent. He wants you to go be free. He wants you to go do your thing. And so he came to fulfill and break the bondage of that tutor so that you could go be an adult. Your dad walked the road in front of you so that you could learn from his experience, so that you could go be the man dad destined you to be. In this case, dad is in the form of Jesus, and Jesus then moves into your heart in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so as you move forward in the world, he is now told you that you have the right to call him father, that you're a full-grown son, and then verse 7 ends, and if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. So you have privileges, rights and privileges that belong to you now that you are part of who he is. Now, what we will do tomorrow, having given you the greater context, connecting chapter 3 to the first 7 verses of chapter 4, which makes sense. Paul didn't break it into chapters. He's doing work here. And he really will change some of his focus a little bit after this 7th verse. We'll concentrate over the next few days breaking these 7 verses down. There is some great meat there, and you don't want to miss it. We'll go on that journey starting tomorrow. See you then. God bless.